Jesus is risen. And may the risen Christ fill our hearts with grace and peace this day and always. Amen. There is an amazing truth that I want to share with all of you, and that is the truth that the risen Christ comes to us, and he meets us right where we are. From the disciples in a locked room, to Thomas a week later, from Mary Magdalene in the garden, to Cleopas and his friend walking to Emmaus, the risen Jesus finds us where we are, amazes us with the good news of resurrection, and then sends us out with a ministry of love and care for neighbors. But also, from our anxiety and confusion to weakness and unbelief, from our attempts at growing our faith to caring for our neighbors, Jesus also finds us where we are, amazes us with God's love shown in his resurrection, and then sends us out with a new ministry of love and care for neighbors. And we see this Jesus meeting us where we are quite vividly in today's gospel story. Today's gospel begins with some of the disciples doing what they had done before they met Jesus. All right, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two others went fishing. Now, this isn't like driving up to the lake and dropping a couple of lines in off the pontoon boat, nor is it like going to a bass fishing tournament someplace. This is a net and other stuff and in a boat like commercial fishermen. This was how Peter earned his living, James and John as well, and maybe the rest for all that I know. But they were out there that night on a boat doing it again. I believe that those disciples were trying to discover the what's next in their lives. Jesus had given them a mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. They were asked by Jesus to go into the world bringing peace and love, bringing care for all their neighbors. We get that same request as baptized children of God. As followers of Jesus, we too are sent into the world to celebrate God's love, to live the peace that Jesus gives to us, and to share the care that comes to us from God with others. And like the disciples, we also, we can often wrestle with the what's next. And then we go out and we try, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't. For Peter and the others today, I'm sure that getting back to doing something that they knew was a comfort. There was no confusion about what it is that they were supposed to do or what was expected of them. Peter knew where he belonged in the boat with the nets. Muscle memory was going to take over pretty soon, and I guess that there was probably some enjoyment for them all. But I'm not certain that the one who called them out of that life to go fish for people was thinking about this after he had given them a mission. But Jesus comes, and he meets them right where they are. There was no scolding or anger from Jesus. Jesus didn't go where he thought they should be and then text, "I'm here, where are you?" All right? Jesus arrived on that shore, made breakfast, and as they came towards the shore, he asked them to cast their nets on the other side. Now, that used to just be a sentence for me. But then I talked to somebody who had done some of that fishing. You usually cast your nets on the one side and everyone's used to it and your muscles all work like that, right? If you cast from the other side, all of a sudden you really have to think about it because your muscles aren't working the same way. None of those things. You really have to think about it. You have to, you know, it's uncomfortable for you to be doing that. But when they did that, they caught fish, a lot of fish. And now I know that there are some people who like to make a great big deal out of the number of fish, right? I was in a class in college, and the professor told us that in Jesus' day, there were 153 known nations and peoples in the world. And so the number of fish caught by the disciples that day represented the entire world. I'll buy that, right? It explains to me why John was so fascinated by that number 153. But I can also see Jesus using it for the disciples and for us to see that with his help, with the presence of the risen Christ with us, we can truly reach the world, even if we're uncomfortable sometimes while we're doing it. Jesus came that morning and met them right where they were. He challenged them. He was recognized, and the disciples joyfully joined him on the beach. Jesus fed them and they talked. They had a wonderful morning. But the disciples also knew that they still had a mission. And that's when Jesus talks with Peter. And that's the really powerful part. That conversation is amazing to me. Because once again, Jesus comes to Peter where Peter is. Now, Peter was still reeling from his denial of Jesus. 3 times he denied even knowing who Jesus was. And even I can feel his guilt as I read that story. Jesus comes to him and 3 times asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" 3 times, one for each denial, allowing Peter to feel Jesus' forgiveness. And that forgiveness comes in the form of a mission from Jesus. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Jesus trusts Peter to accept that mission, to accept that challenge, just as he trusts the other disciples to accept that mission, even as Jesus trusts us to accept that mission. Jesus has fed the disciples. He's cared for them, suffered and died for them, rose from the dead for their sake, and now asks them and us to feed and tend the sheep and the lambs, the lost and the least, the healthy and the strong, to care for our neighbors. But the truly amazing part of this conversation for me is how Jesus asks the question. He asks, "Simon, do you love me?" Now, in English, we've got one word for love, and that's love. In Greek, there are many. And the first 2 times Jesus asks that question, "Simon, do you love me?" he uses the word agape. Now, agape is that unconditional, sacrificial love that comes from God, and it comes to us willingly and without strings. That is the love that Jesus asks of Simon Peter. And the first 2 times Peter answers, he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." But the word that Peter uses is phileo, which is brotherly love, family love. "I love you like my best friend." Now, it could be that that was the best answer that Peter could give. It was all that he can muster. And so when Jesus asks that 3rd time, "Simon, do you love me?" he asks, "Simon, do you phileo?" He meets Peter where Peter is. Peter has heard that there is another goal to be reached, but Jesus meets Peter where he is. Now, the challenge of ministry is still there. It's there for Peter and Thomas, for James and John, Nathaniel, the others. It's there for us. But so also is the gracious coming to us where we are, when we are floundering about not knowing what to do or how to behave. Jesus meets us where we are with grace and forgiveness, with encouragement and support, with guidance and peace, and then sends us out to tend and feed, to help and care for neighbors all around us. When we succeed in bringing light and life and the love of God to those around us, Jesus still meets us where we are with grace and forgiveness, with encouragement and support, with guidance and peace, and then continues to send us out to feed, to help, to care for those neighbors all around us. Jesus will always meet us right where we are with what we need and with a calling to go, tend and feed, to love and care. Today we gather to give thanks to God for our risen Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God's love is on the one hand a once and for always life-changing event, and at the same time, it is a daily process for us to make real in our lives. So all I can say is thanks be to God that Jesus is risen. And thanks be to God for Jesus' presence with us right where we are. Amen.